En honor al paro de las mujeres en México, estás escuchando CKUT.
So women did not make a big impact in the development of radio, but they are having other roles on radio broadcasting, I assume.
Oui, bien sûr. Et encore là, si on se replace dans les années 20, au début de la radio, on engageait des femmes, bien sûr, mais c'était d'abord pour des tâches cléricales. C'est l'avantage que lorsque les stations avaient peu d'employés, les femmes savaient écrire, savaient taper à la machine, et parfois elles savaient jouer le piano. Donc, c'était des atouts importants. Et à ce titre-là, il y a, on peut dire une anecdote, parce qu'un des fondateurs de la station XWA de Montréal, Darby Coates, en 1922, à peu près, il déménage pour aller à Winnipeg, fonder la station CKY, qui appartient au gouvernement manitobain. Ça, c'est un petit peu une exception. Là. Dès le départ, cette station-là, c'est une station gouvernementale. Et il engage Lillian Shaw pour travailler, pour faire des tâches cléricales au début. Mais graduellement, elle prend de plus en plus de place, et puis ensuite, elle fait les bulletins de nouvelles, elle donne les cotes de la bourse, etc. Et finalement, ben, elle a fait 40 ans de carrière et est devenue directrice adjointe à la station de radio CKY de Winnipeg.
Yeah, it's quite surprising, the development of women on radio. I did a little bit of research. Being German, I was curious to see when actually women appear in German radio. I did not find specifically dates. I only found out that the first woman news anchor was dated to the 1970s, and it was completely overlooked that while that was research done in Western Germany, that in Eastern Germany, 7 years before that date, there was already a German woman news anchor in the German Democratic Republic called with the name of Anne Rose Neumann. And she was apparently the second news anchor worldwide after in Japan there was a news anchor. They were discouraged because it was seen that women did not have the ability of analytical thinking. So there's certainly sometimes also a push of women out of these roles actively. But you may have some more examples from Quebec. From Canada?
Oui, il y a eu plusieurs personnes au Québec qui ont été importantes. On peut penser, une des personnes les plus importantes, c'est certainement Thérèse Cassegrain, qui est devenue sénatrice à la fin de sa vie, mais qui, dans les années 20, a été animatrice à la radio et elle a commencé une émission qui s'appelle Femina, qui a duré une trentaine d'années. Et elle faisait la promotion du droit de vote des femmes. Il faut se rappeler que les suffragettes, là, c'était vers 1918, juste à la fin de la Première Guerre mondiale. Le Canada, plusieurs autres pays octroient le droit de vote aux femmes dans ces années-là. En fait, au Canada, en 1922, toutes les provinces ont donné le droit de vote aux femmes et le gouvernement fédéral aussi. Mais au Québec, il faudra attendre jusqu'en 1940 avant que les femmes puissent voter pour les élections provinciales.
Yeah, that's quite shocking. I mean, women in front of the microphone were not that common. Women behind in the research were not, or in the development of technology were not that common. But they were very common on the shop floor of all the factories. So we are often overlooking that they did actually participate quite actively in the production of radios as receivers. The museum, as I said last week, is on part of the museum is in the RCA building. The RCA building was really a huge radio manufacturing plant that was based on an older plant by Emmy Berliner, who produced records and gramophones. And during the entire time, 50% of the workforce were actually women. They were employed because, first of all, they were seen as quite skilled with their hands, but it was also that they could be paid only a third of what men would earn, and with that they kept the price of radios quite low. That was, however, only for them achievable as long as they were not married. The moment they got married, they had to leave work and go home and do their natural duties or their biological duties. this caused a little bit of an uproar, or put some women a little bit more into an position of an activist. And one of the most known activists that we have at RCA is certainly Leah Ropeback, who organized the unionization of RCA in 1941, and after a year, and unionizing something was certainly a quite difficult act, and not really putting her as a person very liked by the management. After only a year, 95% of the RCA workers, or RCA Victor workers, were then unionized, which is a huge success. And to our research, she stayed at RCA for another 10 years, which is quite impressive, because I think that there was quite a bit of hostilities from the management towards those people who unionized.
Certainement que les dirigeants de RCA ou Norton Electric ou Marconi avaient besoin de main-d'œuvre féminine, parce que chacune de ces trois grandes usines-là avait à peu près 4 000 employés pendant la Deuxième Guerre.
Yeah.
Et comme les hommes étaient partis au front, probablement que le pourcentage de femmes est encore plus élevé que ce que tu mentionnais pendant la période de la Deuxième Guerre. Donc c'était vraiment main-d'œuvre essentielle pour la production d'équipements militaires à ce moment-là.
Yeah.
Mais quand même 4 000 personnes qui travaillaient là.
But it's often seen as if women only step in at the moment of the wars, while they were actually part of the workforce from the beginning, when there was a new industry like the radio, like the television, the film industry or the telephone industry. They were from the beginning on quite strong in the representation of the workforce.